Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't be that cliche about it. God, too on the nose. Way too on the nose. He's a young guy. He's also a BC guy like you, Curtis, so he's not to be trusted. Do the Eagles take down Cooper Flagg and Duke tonight, by the way?
No. You know what sucks is I remember when we had a basketball team. That was fun. I miss those days.
Aren't they hanging in there this year?
No, bad year so far.
Oh, is it? But, oh, boy.
Worst year I've seen.
Billy O is going to fix football and then basketball will be next. But
good.
I will say I was complimentary of Jackson yesterday, despite his falls in the shower. That which
I heard
so
you
bizarre.
Praising him. Yeah,
he said I had an ibuprofen and I fell. And he's like, oh no, it was 6:30 on Christmas Eve. I might have been bombed. Like, okay, well that's probably why. But either way, his rejoin thought process mirrors yours.
I've said that for years.
Now, it's not, you know, the bandwidth isn't quite what you have, but it's impressive nonetheless.
Well, he's got Howard Stern in his blood. He said it yesterday. The guy is a rising star. Shine better watch himself.
Did he have the least growth after a Stern internship of anybody?
I think he's had a great successful radio career.
Remember that guy who, I don't know if he might still be, Olivero. Is he still at Odyssey?
Yeah, Chris Olivero.
Yeah, so he was like, the first time I met him, it's always, he's like, I interned for Stern. I've been working with Jackson for 5 years, and I just found out.
Well, you know, I like it. He's not, you know, he doesn't hammer you over the head with that.
He stayed on the couch in Artie Lang's apartment?
He's buddies with Artie. Artie got him tickets. I mean,
unbelievable.
Who could have thought?
What a man of mystery. Do you like my new idea, though, for Jackson 5, that instead of random facts that are false that make no sense, we do Jackson tells us a story about his life that is either fake or true?
Yeah, he's got no problem doing that. A lot of stories. A lot of stories.
Didn't he say they called him the homeless intern?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of homeless people, and he stands above those at the Stern Show.
Before we get to Josh McDaniels, a couple texts on the Celtics thing. 978, Dakota's a moron. I don't trust him. 617, now our sources are Big Show callers. 774, JB not worth the money. Would trade him in a heartbeat. 207, trade Brown to the Wizards for their first-round pick. Draft Cooper Flagg. 978, Brown is better than Tatum. 413, all these teams are trying to get 1A, 1B, 1C. We've got that. Why do we always talk about blowing it up? 603, most great teams have two max players. Why can't the Celtics? So it is kind of a sensitive subject, you know, which is good. I mean, honestly, I'm glad to see any passion for the Celtics. They're a title team. They deserve more of our attention than they get. They're struggling. But they're still good. They've proven it. And they're in a funk right now. But the ownership sale has clouded the future a little bit. And I'm curious where it goes from here. It's just an interesting story.
Well, the reason they don't get quite the play is that Celtics fans, of all the fans that are, you know, they all are similar. We all mostly root for the same teams. But the manner in which Celtics fans discuss their team is the least critical of any of the teams in Boston. Like, they're just, the media is... you know, obsessed with, you know, like, oh my God, like Wiggy's like pissed that Tatum's not an MVP. It's like, who cares? God, I don't care about that. But like the NBA fan experience is to always view your superstar as maltreated and that there's some like massive, you know, conspiracy theory against the Boston Celtics.
Don't rip on Wiggy on his 50th birthday. That is unacceptable. And Wiggy had a great idea to fix the NBA yesterday.
He did. No three-pointers until the last couple minutes of each half. I love it.
I love it too.
And, no, Wiggy's the best. 50 years old doesn't mean he's not, no, not wrong. But the NBA, the reason why they're not in that sort of breath is that the fan experience of a Celtic, because they've been so successful for so long, is to just say you're a hater if you point out something wrong with the team.
Let's go to Maine and talk to Eric on the Kenny Curtis Show. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Awesome. Hey, just giving you a call, and I wanted to get your thoughts on the accessibility of our local teams and how it seems to be shrinking, whether it be on television, price of live tickets, things like that, and how it correlates with almost the worst product that they're putting on the fields, courts, in the rink, whatever it may be. I'm a New Hampshire resident, and our Comcast recently dropped NBC Boston and NESN and moved it to a more expensive package, which I've heard is pretty common in our area, and kind of just get your thoughts there. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, Eric, thank you. Curtis, this is right up your alley. You love this stuff. Accessibility for fans, media, ratings, owners, money.
Right, and there's been this feeling, you know, for a long time, because the success of the teams has been so rampant across all sports in Boston for the last 20 years, where there has been a disconnect between organizations and their fans, where the more success you have, the more leeway you get in not making things available, the more you can charge for different events, the more everything costs, and there has been, and there will continue to be, the sort of cannibalizing of our media and how we consume it, whether it's a la carte, cable, YouTube, FUBU, whatever. The fact is that people have never been spending more for what they normally need on a day-to-day basis. Wages have not maintained with inflation. And the cost for a family to go to a Celtics game, my best friend, listening now, Kotzen, I love him. Jeff, one of my best people I've ever met in my life. He's got two daughters. And like a family of four to go to a game is $1,000 when you're all in. Like, for decent seats, parking, like, that is obscene.
Well, that's why I love that Tatum cut from last week or 2 weeks ago, where he's talking about, I play every road game, so because I know kids want to come see me and the tickets cost a lot. That's a great answer. There should be more of that. I mean, PR directors should tell their players that even if they don't mean it, just say it. Appreciate what fans are paying to come to these games. It is absurd.
And it's good. I side with the player over teams when it comes to CBAs. I'm always with the NFL player against owners refusing guaranteed money. If there's a battle between Kraft and a player or Mahomes and the Clark Hunt family, I'm always on the team of Mahomes when it comes to getting the most money because the owners are printing cash. However, when the player has all the power, as they are gaining in the college football world, then the movement is more easily done. Because in order to have power, you need to have leverage to move. Otherwise, a team won't feel compelled to pay you, which is why you gave me a 16-year deal because you knew I couldn't leave.
Well, I signed you early, like Duran.
Right. And so
give
you
me
have
that club option.
Right. Well, you actually used the club to hit me to get me to sign. But the NBA today is, you know, LeBron's on the Lakers. You know, Kevin Durant's been on 16 teams. All these guys are transient, which is good, but it's also bad for the fan base in developing a relationship. And Jaylen Brown being shipped out because of the cost of running the team would be the latest example of that.
Let's go to Johnny Cakes in Saugus. Hello, Johnny Cakes.
Hey, boys. Curtis, congratulations on another year of sobriety.
Oh, thank you.
Ken, love the Van Halen.
Thank you.
Listen, Jaylen Brown, after that interview, I'm going to have to say it. I think the guy is out of here. What do you think, Ken?
Well, it is an interesting interview. I mean, we played it. People were just tuning in. Basically said it's been a different year. He called himself a playmaker, which is not a bad word, but it is. It did sound, Johnny, like somebody who is just uncomfortable. It feels like he's had to adjust.
Yeah. Wow, that was creepy.
Yeah,
oh, well.
That was odd. It was, given that, was that yesterday, Kenny?
Yeah, right after the game last night.
So, I mean, this is a guy that is, he is incredibly aware, a very smart guy, a guy that's very in tune with how he's perceived. He knew that people were talking about this the last couple days,
sure.
Correct?
I would think,
there's no way, and I don't begrudge Abby or anybody else not asking him, but.
Well, you probably told him at the hookah bar.
Right. I mean, well, there's a lot
where they,
going
where they
on
met
there,
once but, before.
I don't think that it's a nice thing to rip a guy on his 50th birthday. My
nope,
gosh.
Nope.
But either way.
What's wrong with the hookah bar?
I'm going there with my dad today. We're going to one in Jupiter. They just opened.
Taking James?
He loves three generations
of Curtises?
You can take the hookah out of Boston, but you can't take the kid out of the hookah. But either way, where the Celtics are today is out of the conversation because it's like, ho-ho. I mean, we don't talk enough, Ken. If the Celtics decline in championship ratings were the Red Sox, it would literally have dominated the airways in Boston for months. The Celtics five-game series victory over the Mavericks on ABC in Boston with enhanced measurement of out-of-home viewing, that was not the case the last time, was down from a 32 share to a 15 average over the course of the series. That is alarming.
A lot of people at the parade, though. Great parade.
But this wasn't ESPN. This wasn't on Netflix or Hulu or Peacock or whatever. It was ABC. Mm-hmm. Over the, you know, it, rabbit ears, you get it wherever you plug your computer or your TV in. And that is all a part of this. It's just that that's why they're selling. That's why there's these issues. But the players in the NBA have the most power because there's only 6 to 7 of them that could literally change an organization as opposed to the other sports.
We'll keep this going and take your thoughts on it. I do want to, since we teased it, get over to McDaniels a little bit. Now, you guys talked to Vrabel and asked about McDaniels, and there was a pause. There was a pretty long pause.
Yeah.
And then he basically said, this ain't happening anytime soon. And it's, so it started this week, and they've interviewed a couple candidates, or one, I guess, and they requested another. They had Thomas Brown in allegedly on Tuesday, the 38-year-old Bears interim head coach who took over after Eberflus got fired. They've requested Marcus Brady from the Chargers, passing game coordinator, and former Frank Reich guy. Our guy Boomer loves Frank Reich. Always going to mention it. But I don't think these two are the leading candidates. I mean, maybe one will surprise, and who knows. But we've heard Curran and others say basically, yeah, it makes sense. McDaniels is the guy. So, but to me, I mean, it's good on one hand because I don't think he'll get another head coaching job, so there's not as much of a fear of him coming and being gone in a couple years. But don't you think that's a threat to Vrabel? Somebody who was once promised the keys to the organization comes back? That would really
I think Vrabel, Vrabel does not view anything in that light, from what I gather. And
well, then why did he make sure Robin Glazer's out and Elliot Wolf is demoted and he brought his guy
Ryan Cowden?
Because
they were bad at their job.
Okay. But, I mean, I just think he wants control, and McDaniels means less control.
Wait, so if you think Mike Vrabel was hired by Brett Veach and replaced Andy Reid, he'd fire Brett Veach?
Well, I mean, he's got a track record. I think that's different.
Right, that's what I'm saying, is that the reason Vrabel arrived and is clearing house is because the Patriots are the worst roster in the NFL.
Okay, that's true, too. So, but just view this in a vacuum. Forget about the others.
Okay.
Isn't Josh McDaniels a guy who will come in and have control? He'll have say. I mean, if you hire him, he and Kraft already have a relationship, so he can go above Vrabel's head to Kraft anytime he wants and say, this is what I want to do. Give me some power.
Okay, what I would say to that is if Vrabel wants to hand him the offense and the offense is great and they're really good for 2 to 3 years, then that would be a problem. But I think that's a good problem to have.
Okay, so you don't mind the idea. You think that's a good,
a
no-brainer?
I don't think it's a no-brainer. I don't know about Josh McDaniels on his own. If you look at his track record outside of that rookie season with Mac Jones, without Thomas as quarterback, he's had a really bad offense.
Yeah, he did okay with Carr. I mean, they were okay.
What? I mean,
They were middle of the pack.
Look at what McDaniels did with the Rams the 2 years he was there, the Broncos when he was there, the Raiders, I'll look it up, but I don't think they were a top 10 offense.
They were middle, I think, if I recall. And Cam Newton, he was here with Cam Newton for the COVID year or whatever. That wasn't, you know.
I mean, that was, you know, legendary.
Well, they won 8 games or something, so I guess.
7-9.
Okay, 7. But, yeah.
Let's see, how many games did he do? So the 2022 Raiders, let's do 2022 NFL offense rankings. Let's see where they rank.
He's definitely not, like, overly creative. He's said he's not an RPO guy. He's not going to come in and, like, transform Drake May into something new and thrilling. He'd be good, I think, and solid, and probably would be here for a while, which is a good thing.
11th in the league in points per game.
With the Raiders?
What were they?
11th in the league.
Jacob says 11. That's pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah, 23.2 points per game, 2022. So,
The other guys are Nick Cayley and Josh McCown, right, who has some relationship with Drake, and I don't know, there's others, but he's the name. Are you in? You like Van Pelt, too. You kind of defended him.
Yeah.
I just think the writing's on the wall with Jonathan Kraft calling him out on TV. He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone, too.
So I would kind of prefer to see somebody new. They, you know, all these interviews that they're going to do, great. Maybe somebody is exciting and new and can just, you already brought back the old with Vrabel. The continuity's there. I don't think you need to double down on that with McDaniels. It's not the worst hire, but I'd rather see something a little sexier.
I hear you. I can roll with that, Ken.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate you deferring to me once in a while. 617-779-7937. Another call here before the trend. Let's go to Jamie in Portland, Maine. Hi, Jamie.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, Curtis, you got to just help me out here a little bit, okay? I watch some financial shows. There's a show on, I won't call the network, but this guy comes on. He's talking about private equity buying into college football programs. Mm-hmm. And so it's big money. They put a tag on Ohio State being worth $1.6 billion. And so bringing it back to New England, you know, like UConn or something, needing help. And so here's the thing. If they need these private equity people to figure out the financial part of dealing with students that are on payroll, so to speak, I mean, the financial guys want to make money, right? But the side of it from the administration is that how do we manage this? And if you bring people in that are money people, they can sort some of these things out. What do you think?
I'm not exactly sure what you're getting. I think that the private equity involvement in collegiate athletics is probably just we're delaying the inevitable. It's likely started, as you said. What I would say is it's not like Boston College or Ohio State have never been in pursuit of profit. I know they're nonprofit entities, but if you've looked at the cost of higher education, it's gone up dramatically, and it's not matched with the educational experience of the student. But it's just the log. It's where we are and how we consume entertainment, and the outsized market share that live sports, and more specifically live football, college and pro, occupies in the American media landscape. It's only logical to assume that entities that want to make money will try and get involved in any way they can.
Well, and just one quick follow-up. So I guess there's another Super League being formed, or maybe that's a derivative of what's there, you know, the top 50 teams or something. And so they're going to be in their own place in terms of just dealing with player contracts, so to speak, and it's got to be a tough thing for administration to look at. And I'll just leave it there. But
are you insinuating that maybe that Bill Belichick will have a better time? Is this related to his experience with North Carolina?
Well, I don't think he chases a little bit of money, doesn't he, in his life?
That like this was the new horizon where like coaches that used to do this in the NFL may have more fun doing it in college because of the involvement of private equity. I don't know if that's what you're getting at.
Don't know, but Bill has some choices, it appears. He's got a choice.
But don't you just, for our sake, we need him in the NFL.
Yeah, we do. We need him at Dallas. I don't know why that's not done. McCarthy's out. Hire him.
What a great bizarre. Why did they do that with McCarthy?
It was strange. But
like,
I guess
what was the point of it?
But they haven't lost any time. Nobody's hired. There are six openings still. You find that bizarre?
Right, but you knew you're not going to hire him. Why? To me, we all give Kraft a hard time, and he's earned a bunch of it. I would rather Robert Kraft over Jerry Jones every day of the week.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to argue with that. He's too involved. Way too involved.
Too involved, and if you look at the cash spending, the Patriots aren't good, but they're not great.
Oh, really? Well, they did sign Dak to a huge deal. I mean, they spent some big money on some players.
But they literally do for, like, three guys. And you look at cash spending by NFL season, the Cowboys are, like, let's look at this year right now, 2024. Let's see. Cash. God, I go to this website way too often.
I'm obsessed with cash spending.
They're middle of the pack, 15th. Last year, let's see, the Cowboys in 2023, they were they're 11th again, so not top 10, but they're not the bottom where the Patriots are, but they're nowhere near the top of the NFL when it comes to cash spending.
How about your boy Brady with the Ben Johnson hunt? He is obsessed now. He is obsessed.
But can you explain to me how this would impact? And by the way, so the last 2 years, 11, 10, then 2022, 29th.
Oh, he's going to be slobbering all over him in the game. He's on the call tonight, right?
Opposed to when Tony Romo talks about Andy Reid and he's slobbering all over him.
It's just everybody knows he's pursuing this guy. He's in the booth. He's
but
a part
can you
owner.
Tell the offensive coordinator that Tony Romo rips in a broadcast?
Okay. But this just, Tony Romo doesn't own a team, so nobody cares. This is different.
Brady, but how is it different if nobody rips a coordinator?
Well, Brady's been critical of certain guys. You just pointed out earlier he was critical of whoever.
McDermott.
Clock management. McDermott, yeah. So I don't know. It's not a huge deal, but it is something that I will be perked up and listening to tonight.
Okay. I can't wait for the text at 10 o'clock tonight.
And I thought he nailed it last week when he said it's not always about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes.
I wish you would have written that down. We could use that type of insight at WEEI.
Here's some insight from Jacob in What's Trending.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Ty Law. So Ty's all in on McDaniels, Curtis. But who am I? Got a Hall of Famer saying run it back, bring the whole band back together. Right. I just worry about the old power struggle, the old PS. McDaniels last gig, maybe, like the last chance for success in the NFL. He's going to be desperate for some control.
Who has made more to do less off of the coattails of Tom Brady, Charlie Weiss or Josh McDaniels?
I love Charlie Weiss, by the way. Great guest. We got to get him back on soon.
I mean, he's probably like 3 minutes away from where I'm sitting right now.
Oh, yeah?
I'll find him at Rinaldi's Deli in Jupiter.
Florida guy.
Great spot. I mean, his son's with Ole Miss, right?
Is he? Yeah, I think he still is.
Maybe Charlie Weiss Jr. get him here. Well, be the OC for Braves.
Speaking of the whole band back together.
Vrabel's son's smart. He could coach. He went to BC.
But, yeah, it's just McDaniels is in a weird spot, too. Does he really want to come here? I mean, from his point of view, doesn't he want – he can get another coordinator
in
job.
In what
somewhere.
World does McDaniels have leverage?
Well, as a coordinator, he's got leverage.
Where?
I mean, there are seven openings.
They literally hate him in Denver and with the Raiders, despise him. He failed with the Rams. They're obviously – Sean McVay's not calling him today.
Maybe Bill will take him with him. Belichick McDaniels.
Ooh, when he signs Dallas. The deal. Billy O versus Josh, offensive minds match in the ACC.
Can you – but speak back to Buffalo. This is tomorrow is a great game. Bills-Ravens is unbelievable. If the Bills lose that game at home to Baltimore, do they fire McDermott? Do they think about Bill? Could it happen?
If I ran the organization, there is no way McDermott lands in Buffalo with a job after that Rams loss. It's inexcusable. That is high school crap. You know what you need. You know if you use a timeout and you don't succeed on an onside kick, which has the same likelihood this season of winning mega millions, then you're going to lose the game.
Yeah.
And it was in real time where maybe if that's another, dumber broadcast as opposed to Tom Brady, we're not alerted to it. Where the second that happened, Tom said, that's the game. That's a massive, massive mistake. And
if something like that happens tomorrow, you're saying, or even just based on his track record, now you're concerned.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
You have been a witness to what happens when a great quarterback leaves. The Bills lived it from Jim Kelly to Josh Allen.
Would you Vrabel and May or Josh Allen and McDermott starting
Josh
a new
Allen
team?
Josh Allen and McDermott.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, Josh Allen is...
He's good. He's damn good.
I mean, I hope Mays is good, but I have no idea. I mean, the sure thing at quarterback is far more important. And look at who's won the last several years. You have Andy Reid, who won nothing until he got Mahomes. You have McVay, who didn't win with what's-his-face and Goof. He wins with Stafford.
Yeah.
You have Bruce Arians, who carried Tom to a Super Bowl. You know, that's who's won. If you don't have that guy... Nothing else matters. Look at the 49ers. They're a great team. Perfectly built. Up and down the roster. Left tackle. They've got a great middle linebacker. They've got great defense. They've got Christian McCaffrey, friend of the show. You've got everything. You got Bosa. You got Kittle. You name it. You got it. And they have a seventh-round pick at quarterback.
Yeah, but last week, Fred Warner was on ESPN. He was gushing about Brock Purdy. Like, he sold me. I know it's like team speak, you got to support your quarterback, but he was going into how good he was as a scout team quarterback, and that's our guy, that's my quarterback.
Right.
I think they think Purdy's good.
So let's say tomorrow the 49ers trade for Josh Allen. Will he say, oh, man, dumb,
big mistake?
Yeah,
he might quit. He's going to demand a trade. By the way, today it was announced the Bears tried to request Mike Tomlin trade and were rebuffed. So I guess the Steelers stay with Tomlin, which is beyond me. It's just mind-boggling why they just
so
keep
what's
going.
The what's the local, you know, you have family used to be in that area, you know that region well.
Ultimate frustration. They can't win. You can't win a playoff game. It's just mediocrity year after year. Just they're spinning their wheels. So everybody I talk to there says he should be out, should be fired, but the Rooneys won't do it.
Really? So it's overwhelmingly against Tomlin.
From what I hear.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, it's been since 2016, right? That was their last playoff win?
Yep.
And it was 2016 that they got blown doors in the AFC title game. So that was, 2017 was the year, but it was 2016 season. So 2017, they didn't win a playoff game?
That sounds right.
Either way, I mean, you're looking at
it's eight, nine years. Right?
But this is great for Tomlin, the fact that he's getting it out there, that other teams want him. I mean, it is foolish that who is the guy on ESPN? Ryan Clark. Didn't he say something this week that it might be best to have Tomlin go do this elsewhere?
Yeah. And he played for Mike, of course, and I was there when they played together, and he was not one of the Tomlin guys. I can tell you that. He was on the anti-Tomlin.
Ryan Clark, really?
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah. Let's go to a Red Sox caller. You want to take Mark in Florida? I love Sox.
Sox.
Let's go to Mark. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, guys. I hate to switch gears to the Sox, but I'm so frustrated. You know, my favorite segment on the Greg Hill show is when the front office report comes around and the first three hosts ask questions and then it gets to Curtis. And he always holds Sam Kennedy's feet to the fire. And Curtis, I'm begging you.
Not last week. He licked his boots. Licked his boots last week.
If they don't sign a big right-handed, and there's only a couple left, right-handed bat to put in the middle of that lineup, you couldn't be more correct when you say, Sam, when we were winning World Series, we were 1, 2, or 3 in payroll. Now we're 12 or 13 in payroll, and we can barely crack the 80 win barrier. You can't tell us with a straight face that your philosophy hasn't changed. Curtis, please keep beating that drum, because I can't take these off seasons where they make it seem like they're telling everyone they're doing a lot, but when it comes to free agent spending, they're not doing anything.
Yeah, I would say I appreciate it, Mark, and I'll do my best. Ken had a dog collar on me again.
Oh,
and so,
don't blame me for that.
But the Red Sox are elite at misrepresenting their intentions. It's their biggest quality these days. They are superb at it. They have a whole operation where they have Michael Silverman writing a story and he fakes a phone call from Ortiz and they're at dinner and, Soto was blown away by the fact that David Ortiz called him. Wow. It's all nonsense.
Ortiz was awesome. How good was Ortiz last week?
Oh, my God.
To go a little Chris Farley. It was like...
So I can't win. Either I'm too negative or I'm too
positive. No, I'm just pointing it out. It was awesome.
I could sit and break down those games.
Like a kid again.
I remember every pitch, and I was bombed. I don't know how it works, but it was great.
Well, even if you don't remember it accurately, you remember it so vividly, inaccurately, and you recite it as such. It's very passionate and impressive that way, too. So you could do wrong.
I mean, the only thing I thought of was I didn't know if there was a runner on first or second when Ortiz hit, because when Damon was thrown out at the plate, top first of game 7 of 2004.
Yeah.
I don't know whether whoever was going to first got to second, but either way, if it was like Ken at Northeastern, it was stuck at first.
That is highly accurate. Engineering frat, baby.
Oh my God. When Ken talks to me about his friends, I'm just like, wow, I don't feel quite as bad. But, yeah, I mean, the Red Sox, God, it's just honestly, I am defeated. It's like, how many times can I tell Sam Kennedy the same thing? Like, what do I say?
No,
you're not being truthful. Okay, I disagree.
And Sam actually did admit last week, did he not, that they are just averse to long-term deals for guys in their 30s, to paraphrase. You know, basically,
right.
They're,
and he cited that
it was unless like, they're Ted Williams, like Soto.
Right. That was the nugget there. But, you know, the one person who will lose credibility if the organization doesn't shift is Cora. Because there was a big element of the fan base that saw that extension as a sign that Cora saw something that we would soon see about the unleashing of financial spend of the unleashing of finances towards the baseball department that had not existed prior. Would you agree?
Yeah, he's working it, and he's trying. He's pushing Brez, and Brez was good last week. I liked it.
I feel like he was Brez loose. You're going to get a nickname if you're good.
Okay.
Otherwise,
Craig Breslow was excellent last week.
I thought he was awesome. I mean, it was a nice day. It was a nice snowy day at Fenway Park. But I will say, when it comes to, you know, the Celtics are on the verge of being sold to some unknown guy that's going to trade one of their best players.
Unless it's Hale. If it's Rob Hale, he's keeping everybody.
Oh, and if it's Rob Hale, I will dance through the streets of Boston.
Man, but, would that be good? How about at the Saving by Shaving, our annual Rob Hale Granite Telecommunications event coming up next month? He owns the team, or announces he's owning the team. That would be incredible. Go ahead. Sorry.
So I'm in full agreement. But if it's not Rob Hale, and if the Patriots are still, you know, failing to address the major issue, which is the inability to spend, if the Bruins are keefed and they're cooked, and
right now Keefe has inspired them. They've had two big wins this week.
And the other thing is, can we just talk about that very briefly?
Yeah.
And I've known Rich a long time. I like him. I don't know the story about what happened or who's right. If I just jumped in having known nothing and I saw the report and the reaction, I would believe with every fiber of my being that the report was accurate.
Right.
There is no logical explanation for the manner in which the Boston Bruins reacted, specifically Brad Marchand, about a report. You don't highlight it in that way if it doesn't scratch where you don't want to itch.
I think Pastrnak actually did a good job. He talked first, and maybe there was something, but he basically made it seem like not true, or at least if it were something, they moved past it. You know, that would have been, but then, I agree, it was just, you know, 4.5 minutes, and calling for people's jobs, it was excessive.
It's just so, and doesn't it explain why they fired coaches so often recently, where it's like, they don't want to be held accountable. They hated that Cassidy was doing it. They used DeBrusque as the fall guy, who was the one that was bitching. But as I said at the time, if the leadership of that Bruins team wanted to retain Cassidy, he wouldn't have been fired. And it's clear that these guys hate being held accountable. Just listen to them.
Well, I think a big trade's coming there. I think Cam Neely foreshadowed that. I don't know whether it's Marsh, I don't know whether it's Pasta, or it's McAvoy, or one of their big players. It just makes sense. They need to retool. It is time to retool. This team is not Edmonton Oilers level. Time to make a shuffle.
And in a way, we just talked about the Steelers briefly and Tomlin. I'd rather be the Patriots than the Steelers today.
Yeah.
Because,
well, that's the
at
sentiment
least
of
you
Pittsburgh.
Have a top five pick.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a you don't have a quarterback with the Steelers. You know, I know you have the organizational, you know,
stability.
Stability, but with the Patriots, you have an opportunity to turn this around in a relatively quick way.
617-779-7937. It is the Ken and Curtis program, to be followed by Shime and Mego noon to 3 today. Shime and Mego went 4 big hours on Thursday night, so they're already loose, they're ready to go. Shime took the day off Friday, as he, you know, well deserved. He had a double,
right.
Worked a double on Thursday. So he should be ready to go. He is, of course, a big Drake May guy. Has he been
Huge.
Upset this week by all the Drake hate for the skipping of the press conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's the way in which people depict things now. It's like when they lost their final game of the year and they fired their coach and Christian Gonzalez and other players were in the locker room and Drake May wasn't. It's noteworthy. It's not that. See, the other side who replies to that story is like, this is why Boston sucks. We're ruining. It's like, no, we're just noting that the most important person on the roster didn't answer questions about the firing of the head coach. That's it. It's not that he should be fired. It's not that he's a bad person. It's that social media has ruined the brains of people, where people consume themselves about what people say about you if you say something negative about their favorite player. Like, it's okay. The quarterback of the team should meet the media after the coach is fired, period. It's not a big deal that he didn't. It's not going to impact anything other than that one day. But, and then he's gone for the next guy's, you know, introduction. It's like Jerry Thornton wrote this long story and somehow included Dale and Holly TV or radio ratings about how, like, this is why it sucks in Boston. It's like, no, it was just interesting. Nobody thinks Drake May sucks because he didn't go to the press conference. A huge component about playing that position is being a leader.
Right.
And leaders meet the media on bad days. That's it.
Well, Drake and Shine, both soon to be married. They got a lot in common.
Next ring, one of the teams or the people that work for the Greg Hill Show.
Oh, boy. Great question.
I think Sean.
Are you suggesting Greg's under pressure?
Well, it could be this morning.
Okay, well, yeah, it's true. They went somewhere.
South Beach.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll bring Shime in for a little crossover next. I want to get your both of your plays of the weekend, your bets of the weekend. And, you know, we'll put the screws to Shime about this Drake May stuff. And I guess, you know, Vrabel and McDaniels, I'm sure he's got a McDaniels thought, who the next OC should be.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Excellent, the Ken and Curtis Show. Divisional game of the century, perhaps. Bills hosting the Ravens 6:30 tomorrow. You'll hear it here on WEI. Bills plus a point and a half, Shime. Curtis, I know you're a Ravens guy, Shime. I like that play, though. Bills plus a point and a half. Oh, you got to turn your mic on. Or turn it up there, Jacob. Got to put up his fader. On the left.
Oh, God. Of course, you're going to the left. I'm reading this great story about how Biden's inner circle protected a faltering president in the New York Times. My God.
Oh.
This is wild.
Jeez, there's Shine. Hi, Shine.
Hi. I am a big Ravens guy. I also love Josh Allen, though. I think Josh Allen deserves the MVP, but I just think the Ravens are a better football team here. They're so big and strong. I just feel like they're going to run over Buffalo in the freezing cold.
Ooh.
Who wants to tackle Derrick Henry in like 5-degree weather?
Can I ask a question to you, Shime? And you're just the person who's saying this now. I don't mean this to you personally. How many times has Derrick Henry won a Super Bowl or gotten to one?
I mean, he came pretty close with the Titans year. No, never.
Okay, well, yeah, so everybody says they have Derrick Henry and now they're going to win a Super Bowl. When was a running back the elixir to lead a team to a Super Bowl last?
Well, I think the addition of Derrick Henry to Lamar Jackson is the big deal, right? Like, Lamar Jackson is the reason the Ravens are as good as they are. I think
so
everybody.
So why did they have a worse
that.
Record this year than the Bills?
That's a great question, because they were trying to figure out exactly how the offense would work with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, and I think in the second half of the season, they absolutely have. Like, they have been cooking. By the way, these two teams met earlier in the year, and Baltimore destroyed Buffalo. Like, to the point where Derrick Henry, on the very first carry of the game, went for like 70 yards and a touchdown. So, look, I like Buffalo. I like the Buffalo team. But when, at the beginning of the season, people thought that this was going to be a reset year for Buffalo, like, I think this is the game you're going to kind of recognize that. Josh Allen is going to have to be Superman to win this football game.
Yeah, it's not 2004 where Corey Dillon was the game change on a team that was 14-2 and all that.
Like, you don't have to go back to Marshall Faulk or Terrell Davis to really. Right. I mean, even if the Ravens win, they'll credit Lamar and not Derrick Henry anyway.
So yeah, of course.
I'm not even sure he'll get the credit. But okay, so what's your play? Give me your guys' picks of the weekend here. Now, we didn't have Shine V. Costos yesterday.
Bills money line and Lions to cover.
Bills money line and Lions.
Perfect.
To cover.
I'm opposite on both of those.
Ooh.
I'll take Commanders plus 9.5. That's just too many points for a Commanders team who has played. It's up to 9.5.
Ooh.
So give me the Commanders plus 9.5, and I will take
the number
the
wrong when the morning show. That's very sensitive. So
I think the Commanders are going to be in that game. They like to cut the possessions down. I mean, in the last game they played there against the Buccaneers, they just wanted long, long drives. They go for it on fourth down almost as much as Dan Campbell, maybe more, and they're as successful, if not more successful. Like, they have been historically good on fourth down with Jaden Daniels. He's just kind of got that it factor in him, too. This game, no way the Lions win by 10 or more, I don't think. So I'll take the Commanders. I also love I like the Rams this week. Give me Sean McVay.
That's my pick.
Give me McVay and Matt Stafford over that dumb Sirianni.
Not to win, but plus the points. 6.5.
Yes,
I like
correct.
The points.
Yep.
I like the Rams money line.
Oh.
I will also add this. If Shime is right, and he's been right more than many have been, and the Ravens win tomorrow in Buffalo, it is going to be so bad to watch all the Derrick Henry people see how Mahomes just beats them easily in the AFC Championship. I think the Bills give the Chiefs a much better game than the Ravens.
I don't disagree with that, Curtis. I think you're right. I think the Bills are a better matchup for the Chiefs because I think the Bills are going to be better in close games. I think if it's, you know, one drive left, I want Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. And that's what you're going to get against the Chiefs, and that's where you would see the Chiefs win. You're probably right in that regard. I just don't know that the Bills are going to keep it close enough to have that opportunity against the Ravens. That's kind of why I went with Baltimore.
All right, now, Shyman Mego coming up. Yep. Now, you've defended Drake all week. Yeah. You stand by that? No problem? Yeah. Missing the press conference?
No, absolutely. There's zero issue with him missing the press conference. I understand, like, Wiggy's perspective where it's kind of a bad look to leave the day after the season and not be there, you know, when you knew Jerod Mayo was fired. I get it. Like, that makes sense to me. But, what, there were, like, three players at the Mike Vrabel conference? Who cares? It's fine. He was proposing to his girlfriend, like...
Now, if Mac Jones had missed the press conference, would you have ripped him?
I ripped him for being at the press conference last year. So, yeah, I would have ripped him regardless, I think, to be completely candid. And so, like, I just
think it's pretty clear you're blinded by Drake May.
I don't think I'm blinded.
You do not have a logical, reasonable opinion now. You're infatuated.
That's not true. I think I have a very logical opinion on Drake May.
He's a little bit overboard. But
I like it. Overboard's good. I'm never going to get mad at somebody being overboard and supporting of a quarterback of the Patriots. It's been my life's work.
Especially when he's, like, not a total... douche. Like, he seems like a relatively likable guy.
Yet. We don't know that yet. We really don't know the man.
We're fair. That's why I said seems like a relatively likable guy. Okay. His, you know, young upstart, he doesn't...
You were hot on Justin Herbert. He sucks. You were hot on Trevor Lawrence. He sucks.
I mean, Justin Herbert had a great regular season.
He stinks.
I would just say this.
Most overrated player in the NFL.
I root for Drake May because of morons... like people who used to host in the midday that clown Drake May for interceptions this year. Like, if you actually are critical of Drake May's performance as a quarterback in his rookie year on this team, you are someone that should never be taken seriously when it comes to football.
I gotta tell you, though, the Mike Vrabel search for offensive coordinators, not off to a hot start. I am not thrilled with the direction in which that is going so far.
Do you like McDaniels? Do you want McDaniels?
No, I'm not going to be disappointed. Like, he's fine. I know he's serviceable. I know he can do the job. So I'm not going to be totally disappointed. But I want somebody with a little juice.
Yeah,
like, give me something.
Yes, Shyam. We're on the same page.
This is why I was so on Ben Johnson. And so the first two names that have come out are very uninspiring.
That would be
Shyam,
Thomas Brown.
Anna Johnson.
Interviewed a Brady, though. Marcus Brady. That's good. You want Brady's around here, right? I mean, the other one's not coming back.
No, it's just Tom Brady. I don't want any other. I'd take Joe Brady. That's fair. I would take Joe Brady, but I'm good with Marcus Brady. Thank you.
All right, what's coming up on the Shyam and Mego Spectacular?
Yeah, we'll get into the Patriots search for offensive coordinators. Robin Glazer steps down. We'll get into that. Celtics finally bounce back. The TikTok ban is looming. All of that coming up with Shyam and Mego. And Mego, also a huge Commanders fan.
Yes.
So we got to talk about Commanders-Lions tonight as well.
All right, Curtis, enjoy the rest of Florida.
I will.
And we'll see you back here on Tuesday. Shyam and the crew are in Monday, though.
I'm not in Monday because I am hosting 2-6 on Monday.
That's true. You're in the afternoon with Mega.
All right, I'm going out. See you guys.
See you. Bye, Curtis.
You all. Have a great day. Good. Enjoy the football, Ken. Love you. Shyam, see you Tuesday.
See ya.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.